Stacy, would you ever bring you'd be standing up here singing and praying in church? Isn't that awesome? Boy, give him a hand, will you? The Lord is the one that transforms us and makes us new. Well, hey, good morning, Hallmark. How are you doing? Have you enjoyed the showers of blessings this morning? Boy, I woke up to God talking real loud this morning. And I heard him just before the service started. And if he starts talking again, we're just going to say, thank you, Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, it's good to welcome you all today. And I'm really privileged to be here today. And I'm thankful I'm still alive. You know, at my age, I'm seeing a lot of people younger than me go home to be with the Lord. And I'm just kind of glad I'm still around. How many of you are glad you're still around? Say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
Well, I'm so thankful for our pastor. He's been teaching you how to do that. And I tell you what, I told you a year or so ago, if you pray for your preacher, you'll get a better preacher. And I'm going to tell you, I think you've been praying for your preacher, because I sure have enjoyed hearing him preach. He's preaching a series through the Lament Psalms, and that's not an easy job. When he asked me to preach, I was thinking, oh, good, I've got a good sermon. I've preached a few times. I'm just going to get it ready and preach. And he said, now, you need to preach from Psalm 17. And I said, Psalm, do you know I have never preached from Psalm 17? And that's going to require some work. He said, yeah, Dad, yeah, just go ahead. But I really appreciate the opportunity to speak from Psalm 17 today. Our pastor and staff have been providing some wonderful, wonderful materials for us this year. I love this one. I worked through this one, Trust in the Lord. Won't you say Psalms 3, 5, and 6? Will you do it? Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We had this wonderful devotion as Pastor John prepared it for us. Daily devotions in January. And that's our theme that we've started for the whole year. And then they did a wonderful series in the book of Ephesians. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Man, I did too. I just loved it. And I loved the daily four or five of these every week that we got a chance to work through. Every pastor wants their church to get in the Bible every day. Every pastor wants their church to study and to pray. And now we have a pastor that's providing us great incentives to listen to his messages, to discuss him in our classes, and then all week to get in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, the staff has been working, along with a lot of people here in church, have volunteered to do the study that we're going to do in the fall. So I'm just going to roll that out for you. It's going to be in 1 Peter. How many of you have been doing some devotions and already sent them in to Nathan and to Pastor John, that we can do one of these on 1 Peter in the fall? How many of you are doing that? Would you raise your hand? I got several hands up here. People have volunteered in our church that are teachers and officers of our church, and they're preparing a wonderful devotional guide that will go with 1 Peter. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's not 1% of the pastors in America doing that for their church. I know I couldn't do it. Oh, the 22 years I've had, I always had daily bread and some other thing, but to write your own and then to have your staff do it and then to have people in the church do it, that is amazing. And you need to appreciate that. And keep praying for your pastor and your wonderful staff. I'm telling you, you got a wonderful staff here. And I just appreciate every one of them, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity. I encourage you to keep praying. If you want a better church, keep praying for it. Keep coming and supporting and giving and doing all and serving in all these areas. And you know, the church is made up of just people. And for the years that I've been in the work of the Lord, the greatest treasure is knowing the grace of God. And knowing the joy of serving the Lord, and the journey is not solo. What a wonderful it is to come together and to meet some of the best. Listen, in church, I have met some of the best people in all of the world. Now, I've met a few bad apples. They come along, but Jesus had them too. His name was Judas, didn't he? But I'm going to tell you, by and large, I have met some of the greatest people in the Lord's work, in missionary work, and what a blessing. Dwayne and Molly Palmer, they just got back from Honduras, and on their first trip, would you give them a hand? Man. They took Pastor John's brother, Michael, and their church down to Honduras, drilled a well, had a Bible school. I read the report from the guy they're training under, Mark Reynolds. He's a guy my age, and it's about time for him to retire from doing that because he's wore out. You know, he doesn't have the energy he used to have, just like me. But I'm telling you, he's training some good people. And they had over 50 kids saved in their Bible schools. Isn't that awesome? Give them a hand, will you? I'm going to tell you, evangelism starts when they're young. And what a joy it is to do that. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 17. Today we're going to talk about the lament psalm, Psalm 17, God's sustaining grace. That's the title of the message. I wanted to title it God's producing greater faith. Because if you're going to have sustaining grace, you've got to have growing faith. It's just how it works. If you're not going to believe the Lord, if you're not going to trust the Lord with all of your heart, you're not going to get the sustaining grace. And if you get anything, make sure you get that. So today we're looking at God's grace to sustain us through great trials. Now we know grace comes in varying amounts. And Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So the grace of God that brings salvation comes, first of all, in small amounts. And I love this quote. I think they have it by John Bunyan. He was a 17th century Baptist preacher in England, spent 12 years in jail because he wouldn't take a license from the Church of England. The government licensed preachers in England that day. So he went to prison for 12 years because he wasn't going to take it. His classic work is that wonderful, wonderful book. And I just forgot the title of it. Tell me what it is. Pilgrim's Progress. Thank you very much, Jimmy. I need to get one of those shots that you're talking about. I've had them before. They're pretty good. But anyway, Pilgrim's Progress. But John Bunyan said this, "In times of affliction, we commonly meet the sweetest experience of the love of God." Now, do you have the one before that one? It says, "A little faith will bring your soul to heaven." A little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Amen. You see, there's a big difference. And John Bunyan, he knew what it was to rot into prison for 12 years just for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you how you respond to the trials, whether you're going to get greater grace or not, depends on your faith, depends on your trusting the Lord. And so what a joy it is to know that God not only saves us with a little faith, that a little faith will bring your soul to heaven. And I love that. I love the fact that it doesn't take a lot of faith to come to know Christ as Savior. And one of the little girls that got saved at camp, or got saved at Bible school a couple weeks ago, she came up to me and our seniors. She came running up to me. I didn't know who she was from Adam, but she said, "You married my mom and dad 20 years ago." I said, "I did?" I said, "What's your name?" "It's Lexi." She said, "I just want you to know I trusted Jesus as my Savior at Bible school. And I'm so happy about it." Man, I'm telling you, my heart just thrilled to death. But that's the great-granddaughter of Elaine Lindsay that comes every Sunday. So, and I remember that. One of these days, there's a funny story I'll tell you about that wedding, but I'm not going to tell it now. So, but God wants us to have greater faith. It takes a little faith to trust Christ as your Savior. But in order to get through trials, we have to have a greater faith. But when we have persistent trials, that's what David had here. We have persistent trials. We find that, I'm telling you, we need to persevere and get the grace that God wants to give all of us when we're going through those trials. Now, David's trial, let me just kind of give you a little backstory here. For in Psalm 17, he said, first of all, "Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence." Now, he said, Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. Now when David is saying that, he's not saying I'm sinless. He's saying, Lord, you have looked at my heart in this trial that I'm going through. Now the backstory of David's trial is the fact that he was just a boy, shepherd boy. He was a son of Jesse. There were 8 sons, and Samuel was told by God to go to Jesse's house and anoint a king. And Samuel said, now, Lord, how am I going to do that when Saul is the king, and if I go and anoint a king, he's going to kill me? And he said, you just tell him you're going to go sacrifice in the house of Jesse, and I'll take care of you. So Samuel went down to Jesse's house because Saul had departed from serving the Lord, the first king of Israel. And so he had all of these sons, 7 of them passed before him. And none of them were the ones that he wanted. He said, well, how about this one? How about this one? From the oldest down. And he said, now, not one of them was the choice of God to be the next king. And so, you know the story. Samuel said, well, Jesse, don't you have any more sons? He said, I gave you 7 of them out here. How many do you think I ought to have? He said, well, don't you have any more? And he said, yeah, I got one more. He's the youngest. He's the runt. He's out there in the field taking care of the sheep. And Samuel said, go get him. You know, God sees a great potential in us. He sees a great potential in you, young people. You need to recognize most of the people used of God in a great way are not the mighty, not the great talented people. They're the people that God chooses. God puts his grace upon. So he went and got David from the field and came in, and that little old guy came in, and all of a sudden, God said, that's the one. That's the one I want. I'm going to put my hand upon him. I'm going to bless him. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16, it said that David was skillful in playing the harp. He was a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. The Lord was with him in Psalm 16 and verse 18. And so God put his hand upon him. Now, at this time, King Saul was the first king. He was unsettled. He was disturbed. And so they all of a sudden, they asked if we could find a man that could play good music to calm the king. Guess what? The Bible tells us in the next verse, so David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. He was well favored in the Lord. And the Bible says, the next verse that I have for you, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, Saul saw him behaving wisely, and he was so thankful. His heart loved him. Well, I'm going to tell you, things can change in a hurry. All of a sudden, Saul had always had the Philistines fighting against him, and so as he did, there was a giant named Goliath, and David had been there before Saul and playing him soothing music, and he behaved himself wisely, and Saul loved him. And all of a sudden he said, Lord has touched my heart to go out and fight the giant. We know the story. So he went out, fought the giant, killed the giant. Well, guess what? When David came home carrying the head, he had cut off, all of a sudden the whole nation of Israel began to sing this song. Saul has slain his thousands, but David, his 10,000s. And all of a sudden, the spirit of Saul changed. He was angry. He was jealous. He was threatened. Quite a trial. And David had a heart for the Lord. He had a heart that was longing to serve the Lord. And he was loyal to his king. That's what this verse is saying. Lord, you have tried me. Verse 3, you have tested my heart, you have visited me in the night, and you have tried me and found nothing. He didn't say I'm sinless. He said, Lord, I've been loyal to this man. I have been faithful to him. I'm not in a mood of conspiracy. I'm not trying to take his throne. And so David said, oh, Lord, these Psalms of lament, would you turn back to Psalms 13? We've been through it. In Psalms 13, verse 1, he says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? I'm telling you, when you get down in the trenches and you're suffering and you've been wrongly accused and someone is claiming things about you, you know it's not the truth. I'm telling you, it's tough to take, isn't it? Have you been there? Boy, I know. I've been there. How many times? I can't remember. But listen, when you're good, is evil spoken of? When you have served the Lord and your heart is pure before the Lord and you want to do what's right, you're not, none of us sinless. But I'm going to tell you, when you're doing all you can to serve the Lord and somebody points his finger at you and say, you're just doing it for the money. You're just doing it for your fame. You're just doing it because you want everybody to like you. I'm telling you, the false accusations that every Christian goes through is just like this one that David is going through. So David is a fugitive for 12 years. Wow. Existing like a beast in the wilderness. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever. See Psalm 16. We covered that last week. He says, preserve me, O Lord, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and my goodness is nothing apart from you. So he's saying, Lord, he's crying out, Lord, preserve me in all of this. Oh, man. He's crying out to God. I love how Pastor John gives you the three names of God last week. You remember that? Preserve me, O God. Yeah, that was Elohim. It's the same word that's used in the beginning. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The Almighty is the great creator. And that's what he taught us last week. For in you I put my trust, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, all capitals. What is that name for God? Is all caps? Jehovah, yes, Yahweh. The one who is a personal God. The one who makes covenants and agrees to bless you and promises to you. They're renewed every morning. How great is thy faithfulness? Oh, I love that verse, don't you? Where God renews every morning his promises and his blessings. And then he said, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Now, what's that word for Lord or God there? It's Adonai, isn't it? Remember? It's master. It's Lord. We bow before you. We surrender, Lord, that we are nothing without you. We can do absolutely nothing without the help of God. And when we come to recognize that, you know, the only time we many times recognize that is when we are in a situation we have no answers how to get out of. Like David was, wrongly accused. I've done everything I know to do to be loyal to this man, and he's accusing me of conspiracy, and he's trying to kill me. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the greatest pains. When you're trying to do right, when you're doing all you can to be loyal. Wow. I know how hard that is. You know how hard that is to keep going. Say, Lord, why me? Why now? And David says, Lord, preserve me. He cries out. And so David in Psalm 17, he is crying out for a just cause. David had a wonderful heart for the Lord. Now, two things. There are just two things that I want you to get today. Number one, we're all going to face persistent, long-lasting trials. Now, some of our trials come for just a little while. And some of our trials are just for a moment. Some last a year, some last 2 years. But some of our trials are almost lifelong. One of the trials that's lifelong for every one of us is the fact that we all have a sin nature. You know, I know I'm a little closer to the Lord than I used to be, but I still have a sin nature. You recognize that? Yeah. So, that's a lifelong trial. Paul said, all my life, Lord, I'm dragging around this body that's is prone to sin, prone to wander, prone to go astray. Everyone has that one. But there's plenty of lifelong trials. And you need to recognize that they are here, many of them, you know, not to come to pass. They've come to stay. Yeah, some of them come to pass, praise the Lord. Well, one day they will all come to pass. They'll all pass one of these days. But it's when we lay this body down, we run our last mile of the way, and we head to glory land. Now, what kind of trials are we talking about? The one, there's a trial of grief, the loss of a loved one. Through the years, I've never seen greater grief than the parents who lose a child. The loss of a child is one of the greatest heartaches. I've watched people grieve over their spouses, and they just grieve for years and years and years. The loss of a child is the greatest loss. I remember the very first teenager that I lost. He was driven around. We had a Christian school in Kansas years ago. His name is Mark Shelton. He was 12 years of age, and he was another older student. They left Ark City and were going to Wichita, Kansas, and they were struck, and Mark was killed. 12 years old. His mom and dad were faithful in our church. This other boy was a faithful young man, and at 12 years of age, we lost him, and I mean, it just shook us all. He was one of our basketball players. He was a good kid. He had a great future. But at 12 years of age, he's gone. I'm telling you that I have never been around more grieving people than when people lose a child. It's one of the greatest. Many of you are there. Do you know, I was talking to Pansy Weesey. She's not feeling well today. But Pansy, I don't know how many of you know this. Pansy's in her 90s, and she comes occasionally. But 2 weeks ago, I sat down with her in her home. You know what she brought up to me like it was yesterday? Her daughter Pam, Terry Weesey's younger sister, died when she was 7 years old. She went out to get ice cream at the ice cream truck and then started back a little small community, small town, you know, just a neighborhood street, and a car struck her and she was killed. 7 years old. Her older brother's Terry. Terry's 70 years old. So she would have been today, if she were living, probably 65, 66 years of age. Pansy sat down in her 90s, and she recounted that whole event like it was yesterday. Wow. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's just like some of the saddest moments in life never seem to go away. The pain of long illness, suffering from chronic pain. Many of you know about that. You're a person who deals with chronic pain. There's the struggle that we face when others discredit us, the stress of raising kids, the stress of grandkids and great-grandchildren. I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, you know, my mom's in her 80s and she's raising great-grandkids. I said, oh my gosh. So under the stress of those who are, I've been at Cook's Hospital some this last couple of weeks, and I'll tell you, that's not my favorite place to go, but there are some great people down there. But I'm going to tell you, you see kids down there that are really afflicted. You see them going through radiation and chemotherapy, and you see them emaciated as little kids, and you just think that's one of the hardest places in the world to go and see the chronically ill children. Many face financial losses that they take years to overcome. Two of our families in Kansas, when I was pastoring there, I stood with them in front of the house. Their house caught fire and burned to the ground. And everything they had. One man had 5 kids and had 15 grandkids in that house he had lived in almost all of his life, and the whole thing burned to the ground. He lost everything in the house. Wow. There's so many losses. So what kind of trials are you going through? What kind of trials are you? Are they financial? Are they physical? Are they emotional? Are they someone you love? Somebody that you want to see them come to Christ? I've watched so many women who are faithful to an alcoholic husband or a profane husband. I've seen them 20 and 25 years praying for them and come to church, and finally that old rascal gets saved. Isn't that great? Man, thank God for some praying women. who are faithful to pray for their husbands, ornery souls. There's a lot of ornery guys out there, amen? Some of them sitting right out here, yeah, and standing right up here. Yeah, a lot of ornery guys in the world. Well, all of us, point one, we're all going to face persistent trials. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, in the world you will have your best life now, and everything will be hunky-dory. Is that what Jesus said? John 16, 33 says, in this world you will have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Jesus is the overcomer. The second point I want you to get, and that is this. God wants to give us sustaining grace. Now the question is, how are we going to get it? Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Very familiar passage. I'm not going to give you anything profound today. I'm just going to give you God's word. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says in verse number 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. Woo! The Lord allowed Satan to get at Paul. Isn't that amazing? Lord allowed Satan to get at Paul. Paul was one of the greatest evangelists, one of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament. He wrote most of the New Testament by the inspiration of God. But God allowed this great man, converted to Christ, and God used him in a wonderful way. He allowed Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that I might depart from me. And he said, I know. No, hey, Paul, hey, I'm not gonna get rid of that thorn for you. You're gonna have it till you die. Well, Paul could have packed up and went home and said, I'm done then. I'm quitting, Lord. You're not going to take this thorn away from me. Look what I've done for you, Lord. Can you hear? Paul didn't say that, did he? God said to him, my grace. If you want to know great grace from the Lord, if you want to know the power of God to visit you in an unusual way, you got to face the trials. You got to yield to them. You got to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If we want great grace, we have to surrender to that. How do we get sustaining grace? How do we get sustaining grace? Well, I'm glad you asked that because I want to wrap it up. Number one, you got to keep praying. You have to continue to pray to the Lord. Now, I want you to go back to Psalm 17, and let's look at it again. In Psalm 17... And if you'll notice in verse number one, David begins this by saying, Lord, I'm praying to you. Hear my cause. Attend to my cry. And then he says in verse number six, he comes back again. He said, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show marvelous loving kindness. That's a wonderful word he uses there. It's the mercy of the Lord, the loving kindness of the Lord. So he kept praying. In verse 13, he prays again. Arise, O Lord, confront him who cast me down. Now, let's go back to verse number 7. I don't want to skip that. He said, show your loving kindness, O you who save those who trust in you. For those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye, as we would guard the pupil of our eye that's sensitive. He says, you guard me as the pupil or the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me and from the deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed their fat hearts, and with their mouths they speak loudly. They are proud. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to prey and to tear his prey. Like a young lion lurking in a secret place. You could just write out by that scripture, King Saul. He's describing King Saul and his armies. There are men in his army have falsely accused David, and they have brought these false reports to him, and he continues to be in anger. For 12 years, he hunts him like a beast. And David was anointed as king as a boy. And he is encouraged by the soldiers. He has so many opportunities to kill Saul. And he said, how can I touch God's anointed? I will be king when God declares that I will be king. See, he allowed the king who was rebelling against God. It's in God's timing. God will take care of him. It's not my business. God will remove him when it's time. And so David kept his life and kept his soldiers saying, listen, we must seek the Lord. And he says in verse 13 again, arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, Lord. Now, verse 14, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life. There are so many live today just for this life. That's what he's talking about. These are men who only want their due right now. I've got to have all of this. This is my bucket list. I want to go here. I want to go there. This is what I want to do with my life. And I want to tell you, God has other plans for us. I thought the other day, I thought, you know, I had a bucket list and I threw that sucker away. There's so many places I haven't visited I'd like to visit. But you know what? I decided that during the kingdom, I'm going to ask the Lord for a free ride. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, I'm going to go to all of those places. It won't cost me a nickel. Amen. That's a bargain. Amen. Boy, the old preacher, he likes a bargain. And I like free. Amen. Well, the Lord's going to give it to me one of these days. I'm going to visit Niagara Falls in the kingdom. I'm going to go to Estes Park during the kingdom. I'm going to go to Yosemite in the kingdom. Because I don't want to go there. You know, that sucker almost took my boy. Yosemite. As John was walking out one day, he came back and told that story. My heart sunk. He was out there hiking that thing for cause of raising money for kids and hungry. He said, Dad, I walked and I almost, the altitude sickness got me and I was blinded. He said, I didn't know what to do. And I heard a voice said, John. He said, I heard a voice call my name. And I sat right down, right where I was on the top of that mountain. He said, when my eyesight came back, I looked and one more step, I'd have fallen off the cliff to my death. Whew. Boy, am I glad he listened to the voice of the Lord say, sit down, son. And for once, he listened. Amen. To the Heavenly Father, amen? Hallelujah. I hope he didn't listen to this. Oh, boy. Well, listen, people are living for this world. Their portion is now. I want it now. But they want to give all their stuff to the kids, and they want to pass everything they got on to their babes, it says in verse number 14. But look in verse 15, he says, but as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in your likeness. Wow. David didn't understand, I think, fully. All these psalms are messianic psalms. David is called, and Pastor John read it in Acts chapter 2 last week. David was a prophet. Not only did he become the king, he was a prophet. These psalms talk about Christ, just like Isaiah talks about Christ and Zechariah and all of these wonderful prophets of old. Daniel, they all talk about their arrows, shooting those arrows out in the future. Most of them didn't understand all that they were prophesying. God was telling them what to say and giving them prophecies, but they had no idea that all of those are going to land on Jesus Christ. They're going to rest in the life of Jesus Christ. You see, it's a marvelous truth when we understand that the Old Testament, I love this, the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. And the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. We don't understand it. The prophets didn't understand it. They looked for it. They tried to understand it. But in the New Testament, you'll read all of these Psalms are given again by the authors, like Paul and Peter. And they begin to tell you, this is, David was talking about Jesus Christ, who he raised from the dead. And so we must come to him and know that God sees the bigger picture. Keep praying in faith. Keep praising him, even in the trials. Paul said, I must give thanks for even the trials of the Lord. I've often prayed, Lord, help me to be thankful. But Lord, I help me to be thankful. I appreciate what you did to Job. But Lord, I just appreciate not being a Job. You know, I don't want to go through that much. But whatever we're going through, we got to give thanks to the Lord. And we got to pray and keep praying like David did. Keep praising him. Keep confessing, Lord, our sins. One of the greatest psalms, and one of the last scriptures I want to give you here is Psalms 139. Psalms 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my fears, my doubts. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Wow. Keep confessing every day. Keep confessing our sins in humility before him. Keep confident that God loves you. I love these last verses that we have in Psalms 17. It talks about God's lips. It speaks about his ear, his hand, his eye, his wings, his face. All of that's in Psalm 17. And we must know that God's lips mean that he speaks to us. His ears mean that he hears us. His hand means that he's helping us, the right, strong right hand of the Lord. His eyes mean that he sees us, and his wings, like a hen gathers her chicken and covers them, protects them. His face means that he looks at us. He sees you. The point is, God loves you. He cares about you. Don't ever, you know, in the dark when we feel like, oh man, why me, Lord, why now? God says, I'll bring you through it. This is a storm, but I'm the one that says, peace be still to the waves and to the winds. You just ride it out with me. You just ride it out. Just keep praying, keep praising, being confident of God's love, that he's going to bring you through it. That's what we need to do. And then God gives you great grace. He gives you great insight to the plan of God, the purpose of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. The triumph of faith to get the grace of God is to endure when everything around us says, give up, throw in the towel. Let me encourage you, don't give up. Today, if you need saving grace, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. No, it doesn't take a lot of faith to take your soul to heaven. If you need saving grace, believe that Jesus died for you. That he was buried, that he rose again. Call upon him. He's near. He loves you. He cares about you. He went to the cross for you. Just pray, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I trust you, Lord, as my Savior. Come into my life and redeem me and save me, Lord. I believe today. But if you need strengthening grace today, would you just say about your trial, would you just pray what you're going through? God has a purpose in it. He's bringing us closer to Christ. He's conforming us to be like Christ. We're going to understand the sufferings of Christ and the joy that we have because he loved us that much. When you go through trials, you will reflect more on the suffering of Christ that purchased our redemption. So every morning I say, Lord, thank you for the cross. When I come in this auditorium and pray, I look up at the cross and I worship. I say, Lord, I need you today. I need you every day. How many of you, while our heads are bowed, how many of you have great trials you're going through? Would you just raise your hand? Right now, I'm going through it. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's kids, grandkids, maybe it's false accusations. Somebody's accused you of stuff, and you haven't done that. Anybody else? You got trials you're going through. Would you raise your hand right now? Let me see it. Bless your heart. Amen. Would you just pray this prayer? Lord, preserve me. Help me, Lord. It's tough to go on. It's tough to handle, Lord, you know. But I thank you for Jesus who didn't give up. Lord, I pray you'll give me the grace I need to say, yes, Lord. Go with me through the trial. Another day. Grace, Lord, I need it every day. I believe, Lord, you can bring good. I believe, Lord, you're going to make me more like you through this trial. I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart. But Lord, I need your help to go on. Help me just today. I need you, Lord. Thank you for your sustaining grace that helps us persevere, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for this praise team. Lord, we need to turn our eyes on Jesus. We need him. Amen.